Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don, Tony, and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
All right, we are ready to go. January 17th, 2022. This is Breakfast Soup Raw. I am Don Tony, and he is
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT? What's going on, chat?
Not too much. Hope everybody's doing good. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. Hey, you know I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I got to make mention because I watched the news story right before Raw started. New York and Chicago, those COVID cases are dramatically going down.
It's good.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
It's nice to see some good news. Hopefully it stays that way and it doesn't spike back up.
Absolutely.
Everything's getting colder. Nobody wants to go anywhere. And I don't fucking blame anybody. I don't know what the weather's like by you, but it's really gotten cold with the wind here. So, I mean,
it's
Chicago
been very
winter,
cold.
So it's not like it's a surprise.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know.
It's been very cold here. Yesterday we had rain and wind, and today it got into the 40s, but I heard tomorrow it's going to go right back down to the 20s. So it is what it is. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm still shocked that myself, my fiance, her parents, and my parents, none of us have ever gotten COVID. Like I found out that my brother had it last year, never told anybody. He revealed it. His wife had it. His daughters had it. I mean, people that I work with, people in the shopping center, employees from my dad's store last week. It's amazing how many people have gotten, especially this Omicron. But and look, in wrestling also, a lot of people in wrestling getting it too. But thank God, man. I mean, what a difference from a year and a half ago to see even Roman Reigns showing up at the last pay-per-view. And he's surprised that he tested positive, and 5 days later, he's on SmackDown. I mean, that should tell us that's good. It's getting better.
I think it is. And I think with the amount of people that are vaccinated and with the amount of people that have already survived maybe one or two occasions with already having COVID, you have an immunity buildup too as well. And I mean, let's also be honest too. I think a lot of those cases were kind of inflamed because – like you talked about before, I think even last week when we were talking on Breakfast Soup, a lot of sickness in general, a lot of normal colds, normal flus were getting misdiagnosed as COVID when people just had a bad flu. Yeah. So you have those numbers kind of intertwined. And I'm not a COVID denier or nothing like that. I'm just saying that there was probably a lot more sickness just because it was the holiday season. You have to realize, too, in December, you know, everybody's at malls, everybody's shopping. Granted, a lot of people still do online shopping more than anywhere else, but there was still a lot of interactivity, families, friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that being spread around, any sickness being spread around, it just seems viable. So I'm glad that things are turning around for the better, kind of like wrestling, or at least WWE.
Bravo, because I was just going to say, you know, it's getting a little bit better. Raw. I actually, 2 weeks in a row, I really enjoyed this episode of Raw. You know, some of it, maybe some people didn't like the outcome. And, you know, I'll throw this one out there right away because this one, it's a perfect example of not looking for facts first and just trying to be emotional and everybody runs with it. Tonight, you know, we get another segment with Mr. McMahon and Austin Theory. And this time around, Mr. McMahon is basically threatening Austin Theory if he loses to Finn Balor. Gonna drag you back to the office. Blood, spit, broken bones, broken teeth. And Austin Theory's like freaked out. So you know Austin Theory's gonna win against Finn Balor? I mean, just think of the repercussions if he didn't. And he beats Finn Balor, and all I see is this massive snowball of people. Oh, Finn Balor's buried. Finn Balor's been on a losing streak. Finn Balor this, Finn Balor. I go and I check it. And do you know, Mish, two things. Number one, Finn Balor has faced Austin Theory 6 times in the last couple of months. Up until tonight, Finn Balor has won all 5 matches that they have faced.
Doesn't matter.
Right. But number two, but number two, in the last 9 singles matches Finn Balor has had, you know what his record is?
Right.
8-1 8-1 So one loss, that's called helping elevate the stars of tomorrow, as Steve Austin would say, doing the favors.
Right.
Doing the favors. I don't know. What did you think about Raw tonight overall?
Overall, it was a decent show. There were some fun parts. I enjoyed, obviously, the Maryse and Miz and Beth and Edge segment. Once again, just putting through. The big reaction, though, with Finn Balor losing, I mean, I kind of thought that whole thing was a nod to what WWE was talking about over the weekend. Obviously, I'm sure you probably covered it on Saturday or maybe even on Friday, where WWE brought up the fact that they don't want to do blood and guts and gore like those other companies. And I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, that was a little hypocritical of WWE to say that. But I understand that what WWE is today is not what they were yesterday. But it was kind of like it got a little bit of social media traction. There was definitely a lot of commentary about whether people were for what WWE was saying, but mostly against. And I thought it was funny tonight with Vince being so descriptive, and he was going to break Austin. He was going to humiliate him in front of his mom. Like,
yeah, I'm
going
to send a selfie to your mom.
Right. And it was almost like, well, this is literally him talking about the things that he wouldn't do.
Right.
But being Vince, it's okay. And it just kind of reminds me that a lot of the scenarios that WWE are in, where they don't do blood, they don't do gore, they don't do, you know, the kind of violence that you can actually see in other wrestling promotions. At the end of the day, I don't feel that's WWE's decision.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I feel like if WWE had their way, DT, they would go back to the Attitude Era in a heartbeat. They would make people bleed. There would be HLA action all over the place. There would be, you know, bra and panties fights. But they can't do that because of all of the companies that are invested and surrounded by WWE, around WWE, that other promotions like AEW don't have. So when Vince was saying that tonight, to me, it was almost like Vince didn't forget his roots. And I know we look at Vince and he's getting a little old. He's getting a little worn around the collar there, and I see that. But within Vince is still what made him enjoy WWF, WWE back in the day. The things that made him a fan of wrestling before he became a promoter still exist within him. So it's kind of like, what do you do in that scenario? WWE can't win either way. Because if they sit there and say, well, we're doing family-friendly entertainment, we're not pro wrestling anymore, we you know, answer to many different heads, many different departments, many different monsters, many different masters. And on the other hand, they can't just say, well, fuck it, we're going to make everybody bleed. Bring out the razor blades and barbed wire and, you know, like they can't do that either.
See, that's the thing. You know, there's unintentional blood. People get hurt. People, get busted open. I saw a lot of people showing screenshots of matches with blood, and 3/4 of them is like, this was unintentional. This was accidental that the person split open. But you're spot on. I talked about it yesterday, and WWE's got to answer to Peacock. They got to answer to Fox. They got to answer to the investors. They got to answer to advertisers. WWE is rated PG, where AEW is TV-14. I know for you and I, that doesn't make much of a difference, but for family entertainment, it does. So when WWE makes a comment like this where they say, you know, we had edgier product in the Attitude Era, but in a 2022 world, we don't believe that type of dangerous and brutal display is appealing to our network partners, Peacock, Fox, sponsors, right. Venues, right. Children, right. They're TV PG. Why did people? I see, again, this is another case where they're telling you the reasons why. They're not being hypocritical. And people still running with it, you know, insisting that it's something that it's not. This is a $1 billion publicly traded company. And they do have to answer to people, companies in a corporate world that AEW does not.
Right.
So, correct. And look, I'll give you a perfect example. This is what I was going to say before. Fabulous Moolah. If anyone out there wants a perfect example of what Mitch just said and what I said yesterday, Fabulous Moolah. Fabulous Moolah is like a grandmother to Stephanie and Shane, is like a mom to that family. They adored Fabulous Moolah. They beloved Fabulous Moolah. They finally had the opportunity to do a tournament in Fabulous Moolah's name. And because of Snickers or whatever, I don't remember what the sponsor was, because it started this snowball online about Fabulous Moolah and her evil history, they pulled it. They pulled it. People think that because they pulled it, that the McMahons are like, oh, the evil Fabulous Moolah. They still beloved this woman, but they can't anymore say it publicly. They can't celebrate it. Because people are online are chomping at the bit, waiting to drag them down. It's the same thing with a lot of what you said also. They would love to be able to do more. Hell, they were in WWE films and doing movies with Kane, horror films and stuff. They wanted to be in that extreme entertainment, but unfortunately, in a 2022 WWE world, they can't. They can't. So... By the way, shout out to Nero Fay. I forgot to mention his super chat yesterday. Yes, I will be picking up Kreplock for sure. I think you already got my message. Probably for my birthday, I'm going to be picking out on some fried Kreplock. Also, for everybody live, I turned off super chats for tonight for a couple of reasons. One, because there's supposed to be some software updates tonight. And, you know, we could definitely want to get the show done within a certain amount of time. And we got to really stay on topic. And also, you know, we don't need to keep them on all the time. I mean, we right. answer questions. We get into topics. You know, just keep in mind that, you know, there's multiple shows a week. There's a lot of topics discussed. We're not going to say the same thing 2 and 3 times because you didn't tune into a different show. But, you know, we'll get into a bunch of things. Some great news tonight on Raw. Great freaking news, Mish. And I was so happy to see this. Veer Mahaan is coming to Raw. Mish, is it safe to say that he's just going to debut in the Royal Rumble?
I mean, maybe he'll have a promo or something beforehand. Wouldn't it be better if he debuted at Crown Jewel or whatever they're calling it?
Well... That's still 4 weeks away. So, right. you know, okay. Look, Crown Jewel is definitely not a bad
place. I know that it makes sense for him to debut at Royal Rumble, but wouldn't it make more sense for his character to kind of be reborn in Crown Jewel? I don't know.
I could see him picking up a win at Crown Jewel, but I think he should debut at the Royal Rumble. I mean, it's turned into comedy fodder. I mean, now everybody has made a comedy. You and I were pushing the Emelina, you know, treatment like 7 weeks ago, where people didn't even started picking up on that yet. I think he shows up at the Royal Rumble. I think he shows up at the Royal Rumble, and then 2 days later, he probably has a match on Raw, and then maybe he gets something for Saudi Arabia. So, but like I said, for all of you out there that don't know about Veer's past before wrestling, go look it up, because I'm telling you, if this guy gets any momentum, especially if they use him as a babyface, which I don't know, but if they do, and they bring up his history, that is extremely, extremely impressive. And let me tell you something. They'll probably bring it up anyway because of WWE's obsession to be accepted in the sports world.
Let me clarify something real quick. I didn't mean because Veer was Saudi Arabia. I figured that Crown Jewel would be a better spot to debut somebody out there as opposed to the Royal Rumble and just throwing them in to get thrown out If Veer shows up at the Royal Rumble, DT, do you think he's going to win?
No.
Do you think he's going to win that? Does anybody actually believe he's going to win? So why would you debut him just to have him chucked out on his ass, probably in 30 seconds,
yeah,
as opposed to giving him a proper debut at Crown Jewel,
yeah,
at, who knows, maybe even the Elimination Chamber or something. Yeah. So I don't know. That's the way I saw it.
Yeah.
So I'm just clarifying that for the people that are freaking out.
No, no, no. See, what people need to realize that Saudi Arabia, because, and I'm not saying that U.S., U.K. fans are not grateful. I'm not saying that. But in Saudi Arabia, because wrestling is thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away, and they're only starting now to be able to witness what they get, you know, they pretty much cheer for everybody. And look, who remembers Saudi Arabia crowd at the time? Put aside his passing, but
yeah,
Luke Harper, yeah, at that time was on almost no momentum. And Luke Harper was in that match in Saudi Arabia, and that crowd started chanting his name, and it was beautiful. So that probably would be the least pressure as far as him appearing. And guess what? Veer would probably get a better reaction in Saudi Arabia because they just cheer everybody because they're just extremely happy than come out on Raw and get cricket reaction. So there's multiple reasons why Saudi Arabia is a great idea, what Mish is saying. I guess we could stay on that topic for a minute because it feels like old news because you and I have been talking about it for a month. But WWE made it official. Elimination Chamber is coming to Saudi Arabia February 19th. Yeah. Now, for everybody that's using a reason to rip on Meltzer because Meltzer brought up WrestleMania Chamber, they may still call the Chamber match itself the WrestleMania Chamber. That might be the nickname because the winner of the Chamber goes on to main event at WrestleMania. So the pay-per-view or premium live event may still be Elimination Chamber. The match itself may be nicknamed the WrestleMania Chamber.
Right.
So, you know, just keep that in the back of your mind because, you know, a lot of people don't try to use common sense. They just, you know, if the apple is red and it ends up being like yellow, you know what I mean? It's, they don't think for themselves. Now, something I talked about last week, I'm curious your take on it because I got a couple of DMs and one in particular who I really value this person because, you know, he is involved in WWE, not high up or anything like that, but he's like, you know, DT, you know, I don't have all the details, but you may be onto something. It's still up in the air that the women are going to get an Elimination Chamber match because Saudi Arabia, the people who matter, and I'm not saying that fans don't matter, but you know, the Saudi prince and everybody that sets this up for, so WWE could appear there.
Yeah.
They're not keen to the idea of women fighting
using
weapons.
Right.
If the females, the women, have an Elimination Chamber, I'm not talking about at the pay, I'm talking about inside the chamber, it might be watered down so bad. But right now, Saudi Arabia is not keen on the idea of having women battle inside the actual chamber. So, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, we have to realize that the structure of their culture is built differently than a lot of other countries that WWE has matches in. There's a lot more sensitivity that WWE has to have when they go to Saudi Arabia. And we know this based upon Sasha and Bayley and others who have been over there and have worn special gear that they don't normally wear in order to be sensitive to those cultural differences. The fact that Saudi Arabia does not want to see women using weapons or violence or bleeding or anything on those levels doesn't really surprise me. And I don't know, other than them making a push to try and make Saudi Arabia seem more mainstream, which was the whole point, as people forget, it was the whole point that they made the deal with WWE to begin with, was to try and show the world that they are changing. They're adopting different types of entertainment. They're adopting other cultures that they normally wouldn't acknowledge into their own regime. And so if they're pushing, or if someone is pushing, like maybe the prince or maybe even his people are saying, hey, it might be a good idea to try something different and watch one of these elimination chambers with women involved, that might be their way of kind of bridging the gap a little bit, mm-hmm. among other things that they've supposedly been trying to do with WWE and other American and, you know, international citizens. But at the same time, that's also culture shock. I could see a lot of the actual people that are going to show up at Crown Jewel to be kind of pissed off.
Yeah.
It's their culture. It's their religion. It's their reasons that we don't, you know, completely adopt in our own culture, you know, that prevent them from enjoying or seeing women's wrestling on that level. So, you know, as far as I would say, I'd say don't do it.
No,
I love women's wrestling and I love elimination chambers, but why tempt or why openly upset people when the whole point of WWE being over there is to try and give them enjoyment in a different way? Why make it such a political back and forth? Why make it a hotbed topic,
yeah.
when you could just not do it, have a good show, and then everybody's fucking happy? Yeah.
They'll have to do an audible and come up with an interesting stipulation match that feature the women. I don't know if it's a fatal four-way. I don't know, you know, what creative idea they have, but whatever it is, it's got to be strong enough where people are not like, oh, how come the women don't get a chamber match? You know what I mean? That's the thing. So it's got to be something really special. We'll see. Right. Maybe they warm up on it. If WWE makes a few guarantees, they won't do this, they won't do this, they won't do this. And yes, it'll be extremely watered down. But right now, you know, this is not a news story, everyone. But trust me, you give it a couple of days to a week and suddenly you'll see everybody talking about it. So, by the way, right. Kevon Lewis, yes, it was a great day today. Omos squashing Reggie, you know.
Yeah.
Too bad it wasn't for the 24/7 title.
Oh, I didn't even care, dude. It was just nice to see Omos beat him in, like, what, a second?
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Yeah. And I especially appreciated before the match where, yeah, Dana's giving him the talking to. Well,
I appreciated the shirt ready. That she was wearing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's nice attire. Got to find out what she bought that. I don't know how it would look on my fiance, but yeah, I was looking at the segment and I was like, people are like, hey, look at the back. You got the referees, Tozawa, you know, Tamina, and R-Truth. Right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just admiring some clothing. I know I sound like a pig, but yeah, it's funny. Look, when do you think Reggie is going to turn on Dana and Pinder for the belt?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the Reggie Dana thing is already so passe. I mean, I had more enjoyment out of R-Truth saying that she's out there trying to get Reggie killed. You know, I mean, that was legit. That was funny. But I don't know, dude. Like, on everything on Raw, besides maybe Bliss, this is the one storyline that I just don't care about. I mean, if Dana retains, great. If Reggie gets the belt, great. If nothing happens and they both just leave the company, great. Like, I'm sorry, there's just no meat on that bone for myself. I mean, I'm glad that you enjoy it, but
Magic Magician, welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome. And I want to shout out everybody who has joined in the last couple of days. Don't forget this Thursday Q&A channel members. We'll have, we had a banger of a show Thursday, but remember everyone that's tuning in, there is a link where you could access the audio version of the show. So I don't want anybody to feel like they're shut out. You know, there's some very important topics discussed on that show. There was something else, what you were talking about that leads to Roar a little bit. I'm trying to remember what I wanted to bring up. You know, the Dana, I remember what it was. She's in the back with Reggie. Well, actually, yeah. She's in the back technically by, well, she's with Reggie, but then Reggie's got to, you know, get ready for his match. And then she bumps into Edge. And I'm sorry, no disrespect to Dana, but, you know, like Beth Phoenix has got to give the, you know, the plastic rub, you know, oh, I've been watching you and following you, and I'm so happy that you have this title. And Dana Brooke reading from a fucking strip, Beth, that means the world to me, but I have to go tend to Reggie. And she just storms off. I'm like, oh, God. It was good because they quickly shifted over to Damian Priest. Damian Priest is asking Edge for tips, you know, for the Royal Rumble match itself and everything. And I guess we could talk about Damian Priest because you and I don't know if we put the jinx on Damian Priest, but towards the end of 2021, we pointed out that Damian Priest was like 58-1. I mean, 58-2 last year. I mean, he had an insane record that nobody paid attention to. Since then, he's been losing DQ matches. They're doing the dumb, Incredible Hulk stuff that we've laughed at since the first day he did it. But something you and I have pointed out a few times, and now it's no more. Damian Priest, since being called up to the main roster, has never been pinned in a one-on-one match.
Yes.
He lost in a handicap once, but he never was pinned. Tonight, Damian Priest was pinned by Kevin Owens. I think that's a big fucking deal.
Well, I'm expecting there to be retribution to this. I'm expecting there to be comeuppance, maybe some payback, maybe WWE openly acknowledging it a little bit more with Kevin Owens and building something from there, because I'm glad they're getting Kevin Owens away from the Big E Seth thing. You know, like I'm glad that they're pulling that away. And obviously after tonight, Seth is kind of being pulled away with that too, with the Usos running in. But so I'm kind of glad that this might be the next step. And honestly, DT, Damian Priest and Kevin Owens, that's probably some good matchups.
Of a match tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like this isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, Kevin Owens needs a little bit of shine on him right now. And at the same point, Damian Priest, you don't want him to fizzle out and just go nowhere. I think this might be something fun.
Yeah, they had a if some of you out there didn't see Raw tonight, you said to me, DT, they only wanted to watch one thing on Raw tonight, what would it be? It would be a toss-up between the hype package they did for Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. Or,
oh, that was nice.
Yeah, Kevin Owens and Damian Priest.
I love those old-school hype packages. I mean, they did that with Drew at WrestleMania last year, or the year before last, sorry. And that was amazing when everything was going on lockdown, before everything went on lockdown, where they had them like rolling boulders and shit uphill. Like that was a good feel, that very old school promo. And they did that tonight too with the Brock and Bobby promo, and they had the voiceover talent. WWE kind of needs to revisit their roots a little bit. Like not everything needs to go back to the Attitude Era, but there are some things that came from the Attitude Era, at least with WWE. Obviously, they've been in existence for years even before that, but there's a style that they can bring from those older days to 2022 and actually have it reflect well. And I really do like the old narrator type promos where you're seeing these talents look like absolute behemoths and warriors, and you're presenting them as larger than life. I think one of the biggest problems WWE has as a whole, and maybe even wrestling as a whole, is that the talents are no longer larger than life. The talents half the time are just short guys that can do a couple of flips and stuff. And it's like, you almost need to bring back that big main event feel. And WWE doesn't really put that on as much as they should. And so now that you got Bobby Lashley, you got Brock Lesnar, you've got this promo trying to hype them up, making it feel almost like one of these old school boxing event matches. It's nice. It's what they need to do. They need to focus on that side of production a little more these days.
Doug Eaton asks, which do you like better, Lashley and MVP or Brock Lesnar and Heyman?
Yeah.
For me, it's Heyman and Lesnar.
I got to go fucking Lashley and MVP. And let me clarify that. Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar are a gimme. They always work well together. But when MVP is turned on, he hasn't been turned on lately. And I don't mean nipples. I mean, like, the dude hasn't been awake for a couple of weeks, and I don't know what he's waiting for. But you go back in the year when Bobby Lashley needed MVP most to be his voice piece, his spokesperson, MVP coming out with the girls, MVP coming out with the style, MVP coming out with, like, all of this building up Bobby the whole time, building up the Hurt Locker. Like, man, that dude put on a fucking clinic, and it was very Paul Heyman-esque in a different way. You know, it was very showman-like in a different way. From a guy we didn't even expect to be this good of a fucking manager.
Yeah.
MVP blew my mind. I will sing this guy's praises that his career, I know that there's people that loved his career. I wasn't one of them. But as far as his in-ring career, I mean, but as far as being a manager, holy shit, this guy's impressed the hell out of me. Yeah. Very old school feel, very showman. And to take a guy like Bobby Lashley, who, let's be honest, for years, WWE, other companies have tried to make him this big deal.
He's a big deal.
It always fell short.
He's a big deal.
And now, yeah, DT, he feels like a much bigger deal now. And you can't sit there and ignore the fact that MVP was the guy to help him do it.
You know, we were talking about the old video packages. Still, what I still will stop and watch when it pops up once in a while, the old My Sacrifice videos. The one he did with Shawn Michaels. I didn't like the song. But the Shawn Michaels still resonates in my brain. The amount of times that I watched that. I mean, it's just...
Dude, I loved the one that they did with the NWO. And they did the Mike Sacrifice. And then they had, like, they started, like, going to the old promoters.
You know what was beautiful?
And then they melted the fucking screen.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, the NWO stuff in there. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's fucking great.
But you know what was beautiful?
Yeah, I miss those packages.
You know what was beautiful back then also that we don't see anymore? All of the fans online that would make their own custom My Sacrifice.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, that was a thing.
If you, any of you out there have never seen any of the videos we're talking about, just Google WWE and in parentheses, My Sacrifice videos, and just sit there and watch. And I'm telling
you, it wasn't even just that, TT.
You'll connect.
Fans were so connected to wrestling back then, and you got to talk about the late 90s, early 2000s, and I'm going to give a little bit of a shout-out, but back in the day, places like No DQ had forums. This might be foreign to some people, but there were these things called forums, and you would have thousands, not 10 or 20, thousands of fans making up their own videos, their own dedications to, you know, the best Jeff Hardy moves or the most hardcore ECW matches. And they would put it to different kinds of music and they would edit. And this was before YouTube was even friendly at that. This was Jesus. I mean, they would upload on the most random places like Mega Upload and Rapid Share. And that's how you would do this back then. But this was an absolute part of wrestling culture. Was this idea of having these big fight feel vignette packages to the point that the fans totally bit on and went forward with that. Now, I don't know why that changed. I don't know what the reasoning behind the scenes was, why WWE doesn't do that as much anymore or any other company do that as much anymore. But it's nice to see them at least remembering that fans like to see these big moments told by a narrator. Fans like to see these big moments compiled in these beautiful video packages that make you feel like you're putting down money that's worth it.
Yeah. Benjamin, did you say copyright strikes? Fans could just put it everywhere else. Doesn't have to be on
YouTube. Dude, don't fucking claim money on it.
Right. Don't monetize. Did anybody monetize that shit back then? No.
There was no monetization. You know,
not everything needs to be monetized. I mean, look, that's just coincidence with tonight over here. I'm just saying not everything has to be. But speaking of monetize, though, I might as well give myself a little shameless plug. If any of you out there that aren't aware of it yet, You know, I had a lot of people that were asking me, DT, you know, you got to celebrate 25 years of doing this stuff and everything. So I bit, and thank you to all of you who've sent me names and emails of artists out there. The first person I reached out to do a little artwork for me to celebrate 25 years, person ends up being a big fan of this show. And the person did me a favor and hooked me up with some artwork. So that is the first logo to celebrate 25 years. If you want to go check them out, you know, you could go to DonTonyShirts.com. You know, we're not even done setting them up. That's a jersey. We have T-shirts, pillows, mugs. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So in case you all want to check it out, little cheap plug. So anyway, Gabrielle said earlier that she thought Damian Priest was a heel. No, he's been a baby face. He just has the hot Latin temper, you know. And when he talked, as he said to Edge before, I get a little edgy. Damian Priest tonight, a little too choreographed. When Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins are in the ring, Kevin Owens is doing the Kevin Owens show and he's interviewing Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins, you know, if he wins the title, he's going to bring it back to Raw. We could get rid of Brock Lesnar. And Kevin Owens says, then we could give him the greatest WrestleMania match of all time, Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. And then Damian Priest,
you two are delusional idiots.
Mish, I swear to God.
That's not how he talks. That's why.
In my lifetime.
That's how he talks. He's a bro guy. Like, I mean, I know isn't he like pretty much a New York metal guy?
Dude,
he's not gonna be like,
I know I'm not a metal guy. In my lifetime, I honestly thought about this before. I'm like, did I ever like look at someone and say, you're a delusional idiot? Like, it doesn't come out of my vocabulary. And I just can't picture, right, you know, from the metal scene or the hood or whatever you want to call it, where you're like the metal scene or you're bouncing or there's a,
oh, you're a delusional idiot. Get out of here. You're a whole bunch of delusional idiots. Like, what is this?
It sounds like something that a little child would say in a playground. You know,
it was designed for him. It's not what he wanted to say.
I know it's not his fault. But it's just overly creative. And my God, can we please stop having people say, "Can you just shut up?" I mean, Edge did that to Miz when they first started feuding. Tonight we have Beth Phoenix doing it to, then we got people say with Doudrop, and then it's because they know they still get a crowd reaction. Like back in the day, Mick Foley would be in the town and be like, right here in Atlanta, Georgia, and everybody would pop. Now it's somebody just babbling off, and the baby face says, could you please just shut up? And the crowd still pops for it.
No.
That dollar, every time WWE did that in the last year, be able to buy a shirt.
Yeah.
It's a little too scary. I will say this. I really enjoyed the segment tonight with Miz, Maryse, Edge, and Beth. Maryse trying to get out of the match. It's not going to happen. We're pioneers.
You know, the one thing that Maryse did tonight that I really enjoyed that you could tell she went off script with was her back and forth with the audience.
Yes.
When she said, I have a microphone. I can be louder than all of you. And I'm like, yeah, there's somebody in the back going, shut up. Shut the hell up. I fucking enjoyed it.
She's doing the Miz thing. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Of course. Well, yeah. Really? That's when she did the really, really, really. Yeah, no, I got it.
Can we also clear something up, too? You know, when you hear they use the phrase tonight, you look fabulous. And right away online, oh, my God, she took a page from Trish Stratus. No, Trish Stratus took a page from Billy Crystal on Saturday Night Live. You look marvelous. You know, people think
that. But in the context of wrestling, Trish did say that. Let's at least be fair.
I'm not
belittling Trish. Trish did reference Billy Crystal. Yes.
Yes, she did. But Maryse with the old brick in the purse. She wails.
The old brick in the purse trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I laughed at that. That was fucking funny.
The look on Miz's face is pretty fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
This is going to be a Gaga match at the Royal Rumble.
Of course.
But it's going to be a fun match.
Beth
wants a glamour on her ass. And look, it's going to be a fun match. I mean, you remember when Beth quit the announcing team? Oh, she's leaving the sinking ship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Well, we knew that she was going to get in the ring. Anybody that was doubting that was not really paying attention to the storyline.
Yeah, it was going against their agenda.
Right. I mean, they kind of let us know that when Beth left, she wasn't quitting the company. She was just going to be in a different role. So if people were taking that as, oh, another one fired, whatever. Oh. People need to relax and enjoy some of this stuff.
Absolutely. So we had some fun segments with them. One segment I did not like at all. I will say this. Nikki Ash's heel promo that, you know, Tulsa needs to understand. They may not like it. They may not realize it. But sometimes you need someone who is a superhero. And I tell you, Nikki is embracing this character. You know, I'm enjoying it. But we were supposed to get Rhea Ripley versus Nikki Ash tonight. Right before the match starts, Zelina and Carmella come out, and they basically tell Rhea, we told you so. You should have gotten rid of her. And then what ends up happening is, you know, Nikki, you know, they get the best of Rhea Ripley. We don't even get a match.
Right, right. It was kind of squashed before the ring even start, or before the bell even started. I guess that's their way of kind of hyping it up a little bit more. I mean, they had more promo time tonight talking about the angle than they actually did anything in the ring. So it looks like this is the direction we're going. Nikki almost seems legit crazy again. I don't know if they're going to go down the crazy. Do you think they're going to go down the crazy path?
No.
Nikki again?
They're not going to do anything that's going to be like mental health, and they're not going to do anything with Alexa Bliss already cornering somewhat of a psychopathic deal. You know, Nikki, the superhero thing goes to her head, and she's giving, sometimes a superhero has to do something that they really don't want to do. I think she's got this twisted, like the superhero gimmick went to her head. That's the storyline. Right, and you know what? She's embracing it. She's embracing it. I like it. I mean, people remember I wanted this the day that she came out with it, but I understood why they went with it at the time, but that was just a garbage segment. But I will say this, and this is something I said yesterday, and I'll repeat it today. With the exception of the legends in the Royal Rumble match, you look at all of the women on the current roster that are in that match, and there's a phrase, for every yin, there's a yang.
Sure.
Every woman in that Royal Rumble match, I know a lot of people like to criticize WWE quite a bit in the creative department, but if you really look at that Royal Rumble match, every woman that's on that main roster has somebody in that Royal Rumble that's their foe. And I'm not just talking about, you know, like Omos and Reggie. This is just a squash match. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, Reggie can't wait to get Omos in the Royal Rumble. You look at that Royal Rumble match, every person has someone who is an important foe to them at the moment. Rhea has Nikki. Aaliyah has Natty. Yeah, Dana has Tamina. And you could just go on and on and on. The Legends, it's a little bit different, but they've done a good job with that. And I think this was just designed so when Rhea hits the ring at the Royal Rumble, maybe Nikki runs out of the ring and runs under the ring or tries to get out of Dodge or something like that. That's what it's designed for. It's designed to build heat for the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. James is asking, he thinks Beth and Ed show up in the Rumbles too? I don't think so. No.
But no, you're not going to pull double duty. Their match is going to be, that's going to be the highlight.
Yeah,
you know, is their match.
If Edge was going to be in a Royal Rumble match, you wouldn't have a segment where Damian Priest is exit for pointers.
Right. And you wouldn't have Beth saying that the only thing she wants to do is compete with her husband.
Yes.
I mean, that wouldn't make any sense if she just steps in the Royal Rumble, because then what's the specialness of that then, you know? But
next week, we have Miz giving Maryse a birthday party. I think now for everybody out there that hated the Tony Storm pie in the face, I want to see them react just as upset next week when Maryse has a whole bunch of cake in her face. You know there's going to be a giant birthday cake. Unless it's the giant birthday cake and maybe we don't get Beth that jumps out of the cake. Maybe they'll do something like, hey, I can picture Miz doing this. We're not stupid. And he opens the cake to make sure that there's nobody inside the cake. But maybe there's a gift box somewhere else or something like that. So, you know, we're going to get that next week with the birthday party. So
sure.
Staying on the topic of Royal Rumble, the Street Profits and the Mysterios beat the Dirty Dogs, Commander Aziz and Apollo Crews tonight. Again, beautiful frog splash by Montez Ford. I can't believe someone has not done this yet. I'm throwing it out there. Maybe any of you out there that know someone who likes to edit a little bit with video, anybody who ever watches Major League Baseball, you see what MLB does. They will take a pitcher, and if the pitcher throws a fastball, a curveball, a slider, they'll show a video where all three balls are reaching the batter at the same time, and you'll see them do this.
Right.
Somebody has to take a WWE ring, take footage from yesteryear, and line it up and show Montez Ford, Eddie Guerrero, RVD, all jumping off the top rope doing a frog splash, just to try to see, is there really that much of a height difference with Montez Ford? You know, because Montez Ford, beautiful frog splash, but I'd love to see, you know, because one thing that RVD did that I have not really seen Montez Ford do yet, if anybody goes to Heatwave 98, RVD and Sabu versus Jinsei Shinzaiki and Hayabusa, God rest his soul, RVD did a frog splash, but he actually jumped off the top rope and actually turned his body around. You will see that spot. You'll be like, how did he do this? But right. I would love to see a video with Montez Ford, RVD, and Eddie Guerrero all jumping off that left corner turnbuckle and see how similar their flights are to their opponent. Somebody's got to do that.
Yeah, no, I can see that for sure.
But after the match, the Mysterios are celebrating with the Street Profits. The Street Profits are standing right by the ring ropes. Now, since they're all in the Royal Rumble match, just for hell of it and for laughs, shits and giggles, the Mysterios toss the Street Profits over the top rope. And they turn around, and the Mysterio's like, you gotta watch your back at the Royal Rumble. Oh, and then Ray throws his fucking son over the top rope. Loved
it. That was good. I enjoyed that. That was kind of funny. It was nice to see that. Because we always see, you know, good guys throwing other guys out the, you know, before the Royal Rumble, that always happens. But it was even funnier to see Ray do it to his kid. So, yeah.
That was good. I like that. You know, I guess we could stay on the topic for a second. I'm baffled at this, Mish. I know you're not big with video games. I'm not really as much as I used to. I wish I had the time to spend to play video games like that. But they released the cover over the weekend for WWE 2K22. Mm. And I'm confused, Mish. I'm really, truly confused. What did I do? Oh, here it is. Rey Mysterio is on the cover. Okay? This is one cover. This cover, I think, is beautiful. That is for the deluxe edition. You would be shocked beyond belief. Ooh, how much heat is online, people criticizing this for a cover of a video. Rey Mysterio's been wrestling almost 30 years. Rey Mysterio, sure, back then we didn't agree with him winning the heavyweight championship, but Rey Mysterio is a Hall of Famer. Rey Mysterio is a colorful character. Why are people so upset that Rey Mysterio? I look at I understand people tweet just to get noticed. Everybody does it. But I don't understand the hate for Rey Mysterio being on the box of 2K22. Can you try to comprehend this at all?
I would assume that a lot of it has to do with the fact that Rey Mysterio is not a lot of people's favorites right now. Granted, he is a legend, like you said. He's also not at the top of his game, and as much as people may enjoy him and his son together, I think the majority do not. So it's not like he's at the top of his career. Other than that, maybe it's color scheme. Maybe somebody's upset at the color. Like, trying to understand social outrage sometimes is very difficult, DT, especially when all you're talking about is the cover of a game.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not it's saying just the cover that, of a game. I understand that, but I mean, there has to be some kind of rationale that these people have in order to be outraged by this. But yeah, other than the fact that Rey Mysterio is not as popular as he once was, it doesn't take away his longevity. It doesn't take away his legendary status. But yeah, he's nowhere near as popular as he was 15 years ago.
You know
what?
He's
just not. It's a fact.
If I have time tomorrow night, I am doing this. If anybody wants, well, I'm doing it. So if anybody wants to do it too, go right ahead. But by tomorrow night, I'm probably going to do it. Because I don't know if we're going to, we might take a week off with the Patreon tournaments we've been doing. We've been doing it for like 8 months straight. So might take a week off with that. And we may actually do questions tomorrow instead of an off the cuff. But tomorrow night, if I have like a half an hour to kill, I'm going to make another 2K22 box art. And believe me, when I do artwork, I try to make it as nice as possible. I'm not this perfect artist. But you know who I'm going to put on the cover? Can you guess?
Paul Heyman?
No.
Paul Veer.
I'm putting Veer's motherfucking face on that cover. Veer is going to be on the cover of 2K22. I got to do it. I must do it. But not Deli Man. I'm not worthy of being a video game. Veer Mahan. We got to put Veer on 2K22. You know what? I think people would probably have accepted Veer Mahan more than Rey Mysterio if that was real. But all right, we're getting back to Raw tonight. We had the match with Damian Priest and Kevin Owens, as we said already. Kevin Owens, early on, having a promo backstage with Damian Priest. You know, I'm really excited for our match. Let's have straight-up clean wrestling. You know, none of this crazy, none of this over the top, just straight up wrestling. And Kevin Owens fakes a leg injury. Damian Priest falls for it. He hits the stunner on Damian Priest. So the winning streak is over. You know, nice run for Damian Priest. He's not buried, but, you know, will this be a WrestleMania match between the two? Will this be a match in Saudi Arabia? And look, we're not done with the Saudi Arabia stuff. Because a scenario I threw out there yesterday, I think may happen. And I'm not saying might. I think it will. We'll bring that up in a moment. I will give a little hint. Remember how much value Brock Lesnar is to Saudi Arabia. Undertaker might be the larger-than-life beloved god in Saudi Arabia. Brock Lesnar might be number two on that scale. So keep Brock Lesnar in the back of your head until we get into it to close out the show. Because that I think this scenario, the more I think about it, I'm like, this is happening. I think it's happening. So we get the Alpha Academy. They come out, little celebration. They're wearing a cap and the gowns. And Chad Gable, man, I think people forget how good Chad Gable was with Jason Jordan. You know, that guy actually could talk, and he is getting into his comfort zone. He hasn't had that creative freedom to just really have that much time on the mic. He's putting down, you know, the brain cells of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, he is, you know, giving tribute to Otis.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people don't realize how far back Chad Gable and Otis go. If anybody that thinks that this was just a random pairing that ended up clicking, go on Google and just type in Chad Gable and Otis, you'll see some old school pictures. You'd be like, I had no freaking idea. But Chad is paying tribute to Otis. We get Riddle coming out, and Riddle, you know, basically talking about how him and Randy, you know, they were free. It sounded like lyrics from a song. I'm pretty sure it was lyrics from a song. I don't know if it was a Rod Stewart song, but I remember a song, you know, with the roof open and the air, the wind going through our hair, and this and that. And basically, Chad Gable knows that Riddle wants a rematch. And
right.
Chad Gable says, before they give you, we give you the rematch, we challenge you to like an academic challenge. So you know what's going to happen. We're going to get similar to, who was it? Maria, your favorite, Maria Kanellis. Remember when Maria was in the court, what was it, the trial of Eric Bischoff? Remember when she started talking all like collegiate?
Baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they're going to ask questions to Riddle, and Riddle is going to have this dramatic, technical, fancy word, definite. He's going to answer everything, and it's going to look like a bad sitcom show.
Right.
And with Riddle basically insulting them, Otis teases that he's going to walk down the rampway and take out Riddle. But meanwhile, Randy hits the ring and he gives the RKO to Chad right. Gable. And then after it's over, I don't have the picture of Gable and Otis with their outfits on, but they put on the other. Well, Randy puts on, I'm assuming that's Otis's outfit.
Yeah.
But he puts the cap and the gown on. And look, this is to buy time.
Right. It's just the gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, will it happen in Saudi Arabia? People may remember a couple of match ideas I threw out there, the Usos versus the Dudleys, RK-Bro rematch versus Otis and Chad Gable, and I don't remember the other match I came up with, but I'm happy that they're not splitting up Riddle and Randy Orton yet. But do you still think that the ultimate destination is their split and them having a match at WrestleMania against each other?
I don't want that, but I don't know. You wonder if they're running out of ideas for RK-Bro. I mean, they've already split up AJ and Omos. If they split up Orton and Riddle, I could see it, but it's such a solid team. It doesn't seem like it would be a great idea to do that. Because they play off each other so well, and the crowd is always excited when they went out there. You know, I will say tonight's crowd was pretty active.
Yes.
They were pretty loud tonight. You know, obviously they were having a very good time. But it's just another case to keep RK-Bro together. Yeah. You know, they're a crowd pleaser. They're a babyface, family-friendly crowd pleaser, and everybody's in on the joke. Even the stupid joke that Riddle made about the rematch, and he meant like, no, like candles. You know, and I'm like,
well,
you know,
he hinted at when you got to light up twice.
Right.
He's in the 420.
Like a rematch. Yeah. And it was funny because, I mean, it was the back and forth between him and Gable. But at the same time, you know, it's stuff like that the crowd laughs with, yes. Even though it's dad jokes. Like, literally, that's what Riddle's out there doing. He's going out there doing stoner dad jokes. And it works, though. It's the kind of corniness that kids are like, why is that funny? And mom and dad are laughing because they understood. You know, it's just, man, I don't want them to get rid of it. Yeah. I don't want them to get rid of it. And Randy Orton is a guy who's been around for a long time. He's an established superstar. He's an established legend in his own right. And known for being more serious than not, Matt Riddle almost brings out a softer side of Randy Orton to where it's like you can laugh, because we know in the real world Randy Orton's, you know, a comedic guy. He's charismatic in real life too. It's not just for show. But it's kind of like Matt Riddle brings it about in the ring. Matt Riddle brings it about with the Viper character. And so it's a good fit. And I'm sure WWE can see dollar signs where we don't in breaking up Randy Orton and Riddle, but if they can keep him around a little bit longer, I'm not saying that they have to have a New Day run. You know, we're not talking 7 years later, but maybe not now. Maybe wait a little bit. Yeah. Maybe wait for the stink to come off that bloom, you know?
Two other topics we got to bring up today, the opening and the close. We opened up tonight with Becky Lynch in the ring, and it's your typical Raw opening. Becky is in the ring, and she's throwing some shade to Doudrop. You know, she got Doudrop a title match. She makes them better, and then she beats them. And Doudrop didn't make a name for herself. Someone else made the name for her. Whoa. A Doudrop.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. A Doudrop will never be Raw Women's Champion and lead the division. So,
right.
Look, you and I have followed
very, Piper. Very Seth Rollins-like.
Yeah. You and I have followed Piper Niven before, you know, she was on Raw with Doudrop. But I got to be honest with you. You know, like, her extended mic time tonight, you know, unless you really, like, followed her a while, I mean, her accent is so deep that a lot of the words, it didn't even sound like English. You know what I mean? If you go back and you watch it, you're like, wow, I can't understand, like, half of what she's saying. But basically, she's like, you know, Becky, you didn't give me anything. And then Bianca comes out. She interrupts Doudrop. And Bianca is saying, hey, I'll become two-time Royal Rumble winner, and I'll do this and that. And then Liv comes out with the overly scripted interruption, and all four of them are interrupting each other. And then we get the tag team match. And it was a fun tag team match, but in the end, Doudrop with the splash on Liv Morgan to get the win. You know, it's funny. You know, WWE teases, can they coexist, Doudrop and Becky Lynch? And the answer is no, because after the match was over, Doudrop does like the bonsai drop to Becky and leaves her laying. But, you know, with all due respect to everyone out there, if you're going to rip WWE for the can they coexist stuff, where were all of you, you know, bringing this up with towards Layla Hirsch and Chris Statlander? Because they've been doing that for a couple of weeks, too. I mean, if you're going to talk about how you're sick and tired of can they coexist, and don't give me, well, AEW doesn't do it much as much as WWE. If I'm sick of Liverwurst, I'm not going to buy Thumans just because I'm sick of Boar's Head Liverwurst. If I don't like it and I don't want it and I'm fed up with seeing it, I don't want to see it anywhere. But they can't coexist. So Doudrop drops, and Becky Lynch, tonight, she does similar what Madcap Moss and Corbin did to New Day. Oh, it's Poo Day. It's not New Day, it's Poo Day. Tonight, it's not Doudrop, it's Doo-Doo Drop. I don't know. I thought the match was okay, but the opening segment with the four of them, I just thought was below average. To say it nicely. I mean, it
was very generic.
It was so freaking generic. I mean, they wanted to open up with that match and get it out of the way, and deservingly so. But that kind of tells me where WWE really looks at Doudrop on the food chain right now. You know, it just feels, and like I said, when we get to Royal Rumble Elimination Chamber, I'm going to throw a scenario out there for everyone that I think some of you will find very interesting. So, yeah, go ahead.
You know, the only thing with the Doudrop and the Becky angle is all of this other crap doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean, they're going to shovel this cornball crap at us for the next week or so before they finally match up. But it's the match. It's the match itself I'm looking forward to. I think that's going to be the only positive to take from this, because she's not, Doudrop isn't getting rid of her name. Becky Lynch isn't exactly setting the world on fire with these promos with Doudrop. You know, it's just, you're at this point where let's just watch them fight. None of this, can they coexist? None of these weird gimmicky angles. Just put two girls in the ring that don't like each other and have them beat the living piss out of each other. I mean, there's ways I can think of that WWE could make this interesting for people at home, at least some portion of it, but it's not even worth talking about because it's not on their actual list. It's not something that they would
guess into. You nailed it. Yeah. They could make it more interesting.
They could.
But they're not, because right after the Royal Rumble, they want you to forget about this. Because it's on to Bianca Belair.
Right.
That's what it is. Right. If Doudrop had, you know, some bigger momentum, or WWE felt, okay, you know, we're just starting the story and we're going to extend it for a few months, then they would make it bigger. But they are purposely keeping it on the low, because once this Royal Rumble match is over, now it's Bianca teasing.
Yeah.
Does she want Becky or does she want Charlotte? And obviously Bianca's going to want Becky because of what happened at SummerSlam. So that's a little hint of later on. But main event tonight, and by the way, next week we're having a weigh-in between Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. Tonight we had a fun main event, Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley, but unfortunately we had the DQ finish. Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, still pissed off about last week. So second week in a row, they show up. They give a little bit of revenge to Bobby Lashley. They cause the disqualification. Bobby Lashley beats Seth Rollins by DQ. And while Lashley gets a little bit of, he recoups and ends up taking out the Hurt Business, he actually spears Cedric Alexander through the padding by the announcer's table, by the timekeeper's table, puts him right through the barricade. And Seth Rollins is just looking in amazement what he just saw. But meanwhile, the Usos hit the ring. And something you and I said last Monday was going to happen tonight. The Usos hit the ring. They were unable to hit Seth Rollins on Friday, but they did tonight. They super kicked Rollins, left him laying, and that's how we went off the air.
Yep. So, and they further separate the Seth and Big E storyline. Yes. So now it's officially dead.
Yeah. Look, my scenario of what I think is going to happen, and look, this is not news. Mish and I opine. Sometimes we report news, but we look at scenarios. We try to come up with logical answers to it. You know, whatever the situation is, even like yesterday when we talked about the situation with Mustafa Ali. And by the way, amazing how 24 hours late, almost nobody's talking about it anymore. But, you know, yesterday I tried to make sense why things went south with Mustafa Ali. And I think, you know, with this New America stuff, it might have been too complicated for WWE storylines in 2022. They wanted simple. Easy viewing, easy listening. But what I think may happen, I think Brock Lesnar loses the WWE Championship to Bobby Lashley. I don't know if Roman interferes. I don't know if Paul Heyman turns on Brock. I don't know if someone else causes it. I don't know if it's a straight-up pin victory. But that video package tonight, even though it was awesome, you could still see the stark difference between Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. Bobby Lashley needs this win over Brock Lesnar on his resume to cement Bobby Lashley as a big-time superstar Hall. I'm not saying that he doesn't get Hall of Fame if he loses, but Bobby Lashley needs this win 1,000 times more than Brock Lesnar. I think Bobby Lashley beats Brock Lesnar for that championship. I believe Roman Reigns retains his Universal Championship over Seth Rollins. We go into the Royal Rumble matches. Bianca Belair wins the women's side. She ultimately challenges Becky Lynch, who will obviously retain on Doudrop. On the men's side, I think Big E wins the men's Royal Rumble. And we don't know who he's going to challenge yet, but I think the further babyface push for Bobby Lashley may continue, and then it might be almost like ally versus ally, Big E versus Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, and then we get to Saudi Arabia, the Elimination Chamber match, and I think that Elimination Chamber match, you're going to have Brock Lesnar be in the Elimination Chamber. He's going to win the Elimination Chamber match, and he's going to take on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania for the Universal title. On the women's side, it all depends if Sasha Banks can return in time. If Sasha Banks can return in time, I think Sasha Banks wins whatever gimmick match they decide to do in Saudi. If Sasha is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, they may have to have someone else win. And then when Sasha comes back, a storyline develops. And when whoever's title shot it is gets put on the line on a SmackDown, and then Sasha wins it, and then she goes on to take on Charlotte at Mania.
I can see that.
Or Bayley. Bayley is a possibility. So just like Bianca filled, Becky filled in for Sasha at SummerSlam, if Sasha's not
ready
to go. Any idea
for Asuka?
Asuka's possible. Definitely
possible.
I mean,
she's right around the corner, too. And, you know, she's been on TV. She has been off TV for a lot longer than even Bayley. So,
yeah, the only problem with Asuka, I'll tell you what the problem with Asuka is. It seems like WWE wants Bianca Belair to be the first woman to win two Royal Rumbles. And Asuka already won a Royal Rumble. And if Asuka wins that Royal Rumble, Asuka will hold that achievement. And I think they want that for Bianca Belair. That's the only, that's the main reason why I don't think Asuka wins the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
So, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, man.
Main event results tonight, we had Tommaso Ciampa beating Akira Tozawa and Pete Dunne beating T-Bar. That is your main event results from tonight. NXT tomorrow. Guys, gals, I'm going to warn you, I don't think this is going to be even close to the level. I don't even think it'll be half of what we saw with this man against Ilya Dragunov. But tomorrow night on NXT, we're having Walter take on Roderick Strong. I have a feeling this is going to be like a 4-minute squash. Roderick Strong may have some offense on here, but I don't think this is going to be the banger of a match that people think. But Walter is finally here in the United States. Do you think Walter enters the Royal Rumble?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think he does. And I think that he's going to be savage as hell out there, you know. But
I'm looking for
him winning? I don't see him winning, though.
No, he wouldn't win. No way.
Right.
I hope they put some NXT stars in the Royal Rumble match. I mean, the women, they still have, I think, 10 or 11 spots to fill. And, you know, there's not too many legends out there still that they're looking to fill with. So you put 3-4 women from the NXT roster in that Rumble, I think that would be pretty good. I think Raquel Gonzalez, I think Io Shirai, maybe Dakota Kai is another one. I think those three are worthy to be in the Royal Rumble. So we'll see what happens. The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. We're getting close to wrapping this up, everyone. We've gone 74 minutes. The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic kicks off tomorrow. And these are the brackets. In round one, we have MSK versus Jacket Time. And then we have Malik Blade and Edris Enofi versus Legado del Fantasma. Of those two matches, Mish, who do you think goes on to the semifinals?
Well, Legado del Fantasma, of course.
Absolutely. Who do you think they're going to face?
Probably MSK.
Yes. We are both in agreement so far.
Right.
On the right, we have Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen versus the Creed Brothers. And then the Creed other match is the Grizzled Young Veterans versus Andre Chase and Bodie Hayward.
Bodie. Yeah, I think it's going to be Chase. You know what? I can see why they'd say grizzled young veterans versus the Creed brothers on that. Like, that's how I see it.
Yes.
But I would like to see them give Andre Chase and Bodie a little bit of a rub. But Andre Chase is a comedic character and doesn't necessarily need to go anywhere in the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Yes.
But I'd like to see them at least put him up against the Creed brothers.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Grizzled Young Veterans and the Creed brothers advancing.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's I agree with you. I'd like to see
that's the safe bet, but I like Andre Chase way more than the Grizzled Young Veterans.
Yes, yeah. The Grizzled Young Veterans are in mud, and I think this is their last opportunity. Yeah. I really do. I think this is their – if they lose in that match, they're done.
They're a charismatic black hole.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they're the last of the stuck-in-the-mud teams that are no longer in NXT. And I have nothing against them, but I think, you know, this is their last shot. Make it good,
right,
friends. But, all right, so if we go back to the other side, if we have MSK versus Legado del Fantasma in the semifinals, remember, MSK won it last year. So, MSK versus Legado, who do you think advances to the finals?
I'd like to say Legado, but I think MSK would go.
I think MSK, yeah, I think they go to the finals.
I agree with you, but I'd rather have Legado go. I think Legado deserves it. I mean, Jesus Christ, haven't they sacrificed enough this year? Can they at least win a tag team tournament?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I wouldn't mind Legado going to the finals.
It'll be MSK probably versus the Creed brothers.
You really think so? That's I think it's going to be MSK versus the Grizzled Young Veterans, and I think the Grizzled Young Veterans may actually win it this year. Grizzled Young Veterans. If they don't win this Dusty Cup, I think they're done.
I know, but they gave MSK Riddle. They really put a lot of love on MSK. They definitely want MSK to be the focus in NXT. It wasn't that long ago.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Last topic for tonight. Besides, congratulations to Roman Reigns, who has surpassed Brock Lesnar to become the longest reigning Universal Champion of all time. I think he's at like 505 or 506 days. So, very, very impressive. I mean, obviously, WWE wanted him to have that record for himself, you know, very important. Corey Graves. We got the news this week that Corey Graves, for the first time in 7 years, is cleared to return to the ring. Now, if you look at Corey Graves, his visual, you see that he has changed his look a little bit. I mean, look, you get a little older, you get into a relationship, you know, you tweak some things, but, you know, he looks like he is grooming himself possibly to go back in the ring a little bit. My question to you is, do you think Corey Graves returns to the ring? Do you think that he should just stick with commentary? Or do you
think he was cleared 2 years ago?
Huh?
I don't know if you caught that bit of news. I don't think you did. He was cleared technically 2 years ago.
Right, but WWE.
The only reason. Yeah. Right. We're just finding out now that he's cleared for WWE. But he was cleared by a doctor 2 years ago that he could wrestle again.
WWE said
that. And, well, the reason is because he's a better announcer. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think there may be some shenanigans he might get involved in. And what I mean by that is, I don't know, somebody picks a fight with Vic Joseph or something, and he stands up for Vic Joseph a la, like, Cole or Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross, like something cheeseball like that. But as far as seeing this guy go back to regular in-ring competition, he wasn't.
I could see two things, two scenarios. You're on to something. Scenario one, Royal Rumble, he does similar to what Jerry Lawler used to do once in a while. Jerry Lawler would be at the commentator's table.
Right.
We do the countdown for the Royal Rumble. And then you hear King's music, and he looks around, And he takes his jacket off. He enters the Royal Rumble. He gets eliminated quickly. He goes back to the announcer's desk. He puts the headset on like, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, so I could see that possibly happening. The only thing is, other than, unless you have Corey Graves' name plastered all over the Titantron, I don't think the fans would recognize his theme music. You know what his I mean? Music, they'll play the music. No.
Like, right.
Other scenario is, like you said, a wrestler starts picking on an announcer, almost like what they did in Impact the other day when they started messing with Tom Phillips.
Tom Phillips.
I mean, I'm Tom Hannifin. I got to get used to that. And then D'Lo Brown got up to try to stop it. He took a beating. Does someone mess with Jimmy Smith or Byron Saxton, and then Corey Graves gets up and gets in the person's face? You think down the line? I'll throw you. I'm going to throw it out of here now. Do you think, and I got to put it as a timestamp because this is for memory purposes in the future. Do you think in the future, guys and gals, do you think that we could possibly see a mixed tag match between Corey Graves and Carmella versus Miz and Maryse? I could see
I could see it too. I could see Carmella dragging Corey Graves to a match, which would be just, it would be awful and funny in all the wrong ways.
You got to do it.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. No. And I mean, you know what? You didn't pick bad people either, because even though we know Corey's going to be rusty as shit, Miz can carry Corey.
Yes.
Miz can carry Corey, no problem.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, I think we are close to done. Is there anything else you wanted to get into?
No. It's pretty much set up, dude.
Everyone, this Thursday, Soup, Mish, and Joey Numbers, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. If you are part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, Mish and I will be live tomorrow night at 10:05 p.m. on the Patreon Discord channel. I will get into a whole bunch of stuff. Also, I'm wearing an XPW shirt tonight. And I saw earlier a bunch of you saying, you know, what's with the XPW shirt tonight? Earlier today, I was a guest on Julian's podcast. I was on for about, I don't know, an hour, maybe a little more. We watched two XPW matches, and we basically, he had me telling stories of behind the scenes with the matches, because one of the two matches, I was actually working for XPW at the time, so I shared a lot of backstage stories, State Athletic Commission coming down hard on XPW for a few things, and you know, the big meeting that went down with all the promotions. Talked about New Jack showing up in XPW and a couple of things about Vic Grimes that, you know, people might find interesting. But we had a real good time. We recorded it today. He is editing it. It'll be online tomorrow. And I promise you, I don't hype things up and try to give everybody a wet fart. When I get the link, I'll post it on the community section on YouTube, and also posted on Twitter and Facebook. But watch it. I think you will really enjoy the show that we did. It was a lot of fun. And I want to thank Julian for having me on again. So it was pretty good. Charlie, the MLW lawsuit, we got into it in great detail the other day. I don't know what your thoughts on it, Mish, but I will answer it like this. I listened to Brian Last and Jim Cornette talk almost an hour about this MLW lawsuit. They both said the same thing that I said last week. This seems to be just an attempt for MLW to get a cash payday. It's a Hail Mary by MLW to get money from WWE, hoping they'll set it out of court. I think it was Thursday, actually, I compared the MLW lawsuit to Joey Ryan's lawsuit. Joey Ryan threw a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
hoping that some of the people that he tried to sue would settle out of court. Any win gives him a little bit of legitimacy. And unfortunately, when it got to court, he had to start proving a lot of this shit. It went nowhere. MLW, the more I read the lawsuit the last couple of days, the more you see how ridiculous this lawsuit is. It's garbage. I even heard today that Court Bauer made a comment to someone that he has balls the size of pig knuckles. I think MLW is in some serious, serious trouble. If MLW has to reveal in court what their contracts look like and what kind of money has been coming in, I think they turn into a laughing stock. This is just opinion, but have you had any time to look at this at all?
Not really. I didn't go into depth. I know Joey had some thoughts on it too, so I'm looking forward to talking to him.
So you tune into Wrestling Soup Thursday and hear Joey and Mish talk about it. I will get into it a little bit on Wednesday, since Wednesday is, you know, everything but Raw and SmackDown. But, I think this lawsuit goes nowhere. I'll make a prediction on Wednesday that this lawsuit ultimately gets thrown out. I think McDivitt is literally drooling right now to the point where I even think McDivitt goes to Vince McMahon. Not really, but he goes to him and says, look, I won't take any money on this one. Let me brutally rip the fuck out of this company. I don't think MLW understands what they got. This lawyer that they hired, I think when this lawyer deals with McDivitt, this lawyer is going to be like, MLW, you got to give me a big retainer if you expect me to fight this billionaire company. I think that lawyer is going to get out of that, and MLW is going to be left with nothing.
Yeah. So,
Mish, much love. We're under 90 minutes, so we accomplished what we needed to do. So be well, my friend. I will see you tomorrow.
And much love. We'll have a fun show. Thank you very much, everybody.
Be well.
Thank you. Take it easy.
So everyone, in closing, if you're not with us tomorrow on Patreon, you're welcome to join me Wednesday night for Wednesday Night Dynamite. Now, I want to make this clear. I changed my thumbnail for Wednesday's show because I don't like clickbait. I don't ever do clickbait. That's why I always try in the description area to clarify a little bit more about topics we're going to get into. But I updated a thumbnail earlier about this. All right. Now, you know, I got to thank the person who sent me this Photoshop of Cody in front of NXT 2.0. But on Wednesday, I will get into the details of Cody's contract expiring temporarily. And I added on the right, could Cody leave AEW right now? And truly, I believe no freaking way. I don't think in any way, shape, or form Cody leaves AEW at this time. But his contract, you know, there's a little bit of details behind it. Fightful is the one that broke the story. You got to give them the credit. But the COVID situation, where Cody had to go home because of a COVID issue, that kind of delayed the contract. You would have thought, listen, you would have thought this contract would have been resolved through New Deal in December, but it didn't. So, you know, this story is a big deal. It's a big deal. And believe me, there's some people that are trying to think, oh, it's a work, it's a storyline. Why would this be a storyline? Seriously, if you really think about it, why would this be a storyline? Could you imagine? Could you imagine? And I'll leave you with this, and we'll talk about it Wednesday. I'll leave you with this. Anybody that's been following AEW, and anybody that's been following Cody, and anybody that's been following the treatment of Cody by the fans, and Cody doing everything he possibly can to get his relationship with the fans repaired, even burning, melting his skin over it. Could you imagine how toxic Cody would come off amongst AEW fans if they found out that Cody being a free agent was a storyline? This does not help Cody in any way, shape, or form. So do I think this is a storyline? No. It would be almost creative suicide to do that. But on Wednesday, we will get into it a little bit more. and we'll have a fun show. So, everyone, thank you for joining us tonight. We're at the 90-minute mark, so I'm going to get out of here. Post your comments in the comment section. I spent about 3 hours today getting back to comments from the last week. I still have more to do. And I want to thank you all, as always, for the support. It is appreciated more than you'll ever know. And, you know, on your way out, smash that like button, you know, because it really does help. I mean, you'd be surprised how much it helps telling, it sends a message to YouTube. Hey, I checked out this show. I liked it. You know, I recommend it. Maybe you want to show it to someone else. So I really mean that. So I know for the couple of hundred of you who are still live right now, I know there's no way that the number of likes are going to go up by that same couple of hundred. But before you sign off, if you enjoyed the show, only if you enjoyed the show, if you could hit that like button, doesn't cost anything. It takes about 2 seconds. It would definitely be a good thing. And hey, I turned the super chat off tonight for technical reasons, but also so we could focus on the topics at hand and mingle with the chat room too. But, you know, if you could do that for us, it's always appreciated. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Have a great night, and I'll see you either tomorrow night after NXT or Wednesday night after AEW. So, much love, everybody. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait.
I paused it purposely because Manic Magician became a member of the family. So I had to add magic just now. So his name is acknowledged. Much love. Be well, everybody. Smash that like button. Good night, everybody.
Wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.